Growing older is an odd sensation. One moment you're just a kid with the whole world in front of you. And before you know it, you're looking back saying, that was how many years ago? But as we grow, we evolve. During the past 6 years for us, we've barely had the time to reflect and realize just how much we've actually grown and developed. In the early days, we had absolutely no way of predicting we'd still be doing this 6 years later. And so, after these years of smiles, tears, laughter, and of course, discomfort, we want to take the time to look back and contemplate on what it means to grow up. On this episode, we are bringing on the one and only Tommy Daher. Tommy is Matt's younger brother and has been the secret sauce to the Yes Theory team for the past 5 years now. He's usually behind the scenes making our stories come to life, and he's been right alongside us during these years of growth and has grown tremendously in his own life. Because of his insider's view and the fact that he is like our own little brother, we wanted to bring on Tommy on today's episode to talk about the topic that many of us don't reflect on until we begin to develop into adults, growing up.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Yes Theory podcast. Our guest is the one and only Tommy Daher.
The man who's undergone
several name changes throughout the years. His name is Thomas, and then he was called TD, and then it was called Titty.
And then Tom for a bit, and now it's Tommy.
And then now it's Tommy.
We'll see what next year brings.
But, I mean, that just goes to show this very intense... struggle for power within Yes Theory between the two Thomases.
Yep.
But on a more serious note, Tommy is head of post-production at Yes Theory. He's one of the creators in the house. Mm-hmm. And he's also Matt's younger brother joined us. What? Who's Matt?
Yeah, what?
Who's that guy?
He's Matt's younger brother who joined us when he was 19 years old. Mm-hmm. He was still a student, a sophomore at university.
Yeah.
And over a summer, he just came to do an editing internship within Yes Theory.
You worked in our kitchen.
What happened?
I slept on the couch.
So what happened?
Well, I basically just finished my sophomore year of college and I was feeling pretty burnt out, pretty not happy with studying math. So I reached out to Matt and I was like, hey, would love to just leave this environment for a month and see what LA is like because you guys just moved there. And I've been editing since I was 13. I was like, yeah, I can probably help too. So I came out for that month. And then for the first week that I was there, you were like kind of ignoring me a little bit. You're like, what do I do with this kid?
I actually want to take it a step back a little bit and in the timeline, because that wasn't like your first encounter with Yes Theory. Because we started in Montreal and this is where you were going to school. Mm. But now you're seeing your brother who had just graduated and meeting these two other guys and, you know, doing this YouTube thing in filmmaking, which has been your thing ever since you were a kid. How was that?
I was like, damn, he's like living my dream. And I'm here studying math. What am I doing? The first video I helped with you guys was Lover of Fear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I helped film that.
Yeah.
That was cool. I was like, wow, this is like having some sort of positive impact. Mm-hmm. I've never really done that. I was always just like kind of fooling around.
But yeah, you came for that one. You helped to shoot it. But your actual first appearance was...
Oh my God. I hate this. They made a video basically telling terrible jokes in public. And at that point, like I'd never really gotten out of my comfort zone. I was very much like really introverted, like didn't speak much and like was kind of like speak when spoken to. And then at the end of this video, I was filming it. They're like, and now what Tommy doesn't know is that he's going to tell a terrible joke in public. I was like, no.
How did you not even predict that?
Dude? I literally, that not even crossed my mind.
What's been interesting about having you be a part of this journey is that it's almost like we are testing the Yes Theory in ourselves and we're testing the concept of, you know, what happens when you seek discomfort and make choices for yourself and actually follow your dreams. From the very offset of doing all of this, we had you who was doing exactly that. You were going against your family. You're going against what you were always told you should do. Going against even what you knew that you were good at. You're good at math and that's why you're studying it. And like this whole filmmaking thing, God knows where it was going to take you. But it's interesting to see the ideals of yesterday at Seek Discomfort be applied by you, who was like the youngest out of all of us. You joined us when you were 19. Mm-hmm. And I would say like you're almost a true representation for the people that are watching. So
I'm basically, I'm feeling the impact of what it's like to actually seek discomfort.
Yeah.
So I started from like the bottom of like not being able to do any of this stuff and like watching even myself being able to do more and more and like speak more and more and to like be more comfortable in my skin. And I'm like, oh, anyone can do it. And it's just a matter of like doing it.
Mm-hmm. Which ties perfectly into what we wanted to talk about today, which is growing up, you know? And the reason why we wanted you as our guest is because you joined us when you were 19.
Yeah.
And you're now about to turn 25 in a few months.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, wow. 19 to 25 is an, it's an enormous time. So it's been amazing seeing you grow into an adult.
Like it's almost with us, people can watch us and argue that, oh, these guys look social and this comes easy to them. But that's why I think it was always powerful to witness the impact of Seek Discomfort and Yesterday on you, because it just gave me that much more certainty that what we're doing is the way to go to actually maximize your life. And, you know, the shy kid that wouldn't dance on the boardwalk 5 years ago now is the first to get crazy.
Maybe, Tommy, what does growing up mean to you?
I think like what you've been saying of being shy, like in school, growing up, I had like one friend. And not until like the end of high school was I like able to like kind of get out. And I really never was around people that were weird. Like I felt like I always had to like contain my like weirdness. And so I think growing up is just feeling more comfortable in your skin, for me at least. And now for me, at least over the past year, it's been being comfortable being alone.
So I guess those two things that you just said are a little bit contrasting. One was like you didn't have a whole lot of friends, but then you're also kind of relying on people close to you to feel comfortable.
I'd say like growing up, I didn't have a whole lot of friends. So it kind of made me block myself out from a lot of like interactions and stuff. But now I think I'm much more open, but I'm also comfortable within myself to be alone. Mm. Like I don't need to rely on people to express myself in that way.
I feel like when you were saying growing up for me is just growing comfortable in my own skin, it made me think of growing up is almost developing a healthier relationship with your like child self. Mm-hmm. And I feel like growing up is just being able to access that state more easily without all these preconceived notions about what others around you might think or how stupid or goofy you might look.
Right.
So it's almost like you grow up only to find the child inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys feel like growing up has given you perspective on that you maybe didn't have when you were younger?
I think for me, the biggest thing I realized is like there are no adults. Even this year, like seeing my parents break down and seeing my brother break down, I was like, oh, really? Nobody's figured it out. For me, that was the biggest realization. We're in our 20s. Things are crazy. And no one's got to figure it out. So it's almost like embracing it and being okay with not having to figure it out and knowing that like it's okay if, you know, your 60-some-year-old dad hasn't figured it out either. Like there isn't a set point. It's just being comfortable now.
It's like a constant growth. Like you don't arrive at, I'm an adult and I know all the answers.
Yeah. I remember I was in Paris and I was trying to get to Versailles. And it was kind of confusing. There were a few trains coming and there was like an older couple that was waiting for the train. And so I went up to them and I was like, is this the train to Versailles? And he was like, I don't know. We're just kind of getting on and seeing. I was like, oh, okay. So you haven't figured it out? He's like, no, we're just going to see. And then like 5 seconds later, another like young couple comes up to him and is like, is this the train to Versailles? And he's like, I don't know. And I realized like, oh, this guy, like he just looks confident because he's used to these situations of being uncomfortable and being not confident that he's got confidence in not confidence, which is amazing. Like that's the ultimate place that you want to be. And I feel like when we look at adults as kids, we're like, oh, they figured it out because they figured it out. Mm-hmm. Where in reality, it's more of like, they've just gotten used to not having it figured out. Mm. And I think that's a huge part of growing up is just like, again, like seeking discomfort, always being uncomfortable. You just become more comfortable, ironically.
Well, the counterintuitive thing about growing up is also very largely driven by self-acceptance, right?
Yeah.
Part of that is letting go of some things, right? And I think that's the thing that I keep going back and forth with. Because I'm a very like driven person to want to improve at everything that I do and I want to do it the best all the time.
But I'm having to practice also some acceptance of like, I accept who I am and I don't need to prove anything to anyone.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back after this short break. Throughout my adult life, I've struggled with anxiety. And for a while, my mental health was majorly impacted by this. It wasn't until I started to take small steps every day and making daily meditation a part of my mental diet that I started to feel better. It was made amazingly easy and convenient for me using Headspace. Headspace is an easy-to-use app that offers you your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations. Backed by clinically proven research, Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I've now meditated every single day for 1,000 days straight using Headspace, and I can safely say that has changed my life. Meant to work around your schedule, Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/yestheory. That's headspace.com/yestheory for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now, so go to headspace.com/yestheory. And now, back to the episode.
When do you think we started like seriously reflecting on our growth?
I think last year, like 2020, for me was a huge growth. Like my life before Yes Theory and during is so different. Mm. It was like, literally I look back at my old life, I'm like, how was I in this environment for this long? Mm. So I think like just freedom of expression felt more grown up and felt like more like, as we were saying, like getting back to the inner root.
What about you, Thomas? When did you feel like you've grown up for the first time in the Yes Theory journey?
I think when you and I were in that hallway and my parents called me and I was like spent a couple hours and I was like, I'd never had to go against my parents that aggressively before. But they were communicating that they were extremely disappointed with my decision and questioning how they raised me and all these things. And this was a time where I was like, you know what? Like, I really know that I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And I know that even for my relationship with my parents, if I don't do this, we're not going to get along mm-hmm. because I'm forever going to be resentful towards them. And making that decision and then actually following through with it fueled a lot of fire under me to like work twice as hard. And then seeing that work out gave me a lot of confidence in my own North Star.
Yeah, it's interesting how like the first moment of like registered growth is about going away from your family.
Because otherwise it's, I think so much of our lives is based on what our environments kind of tell us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go to this school, get married at this age, do these things. And then I think people have midlife crisis and they like do all sorts of crazy decisions mm-hmm. rather than living intentionally from the start. I'm trying to make sure I get to 80 and have the least amount of regrets. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people wait until their deathbed to be like, wait, I didn't do what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm.
Now I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, me dropping out was a similar like, away from your parents thing.
Yeah.
My parents were so pissed.
Yeah. I mean, we were dealing with that together. You know, you were like, you didn't know what to do.
No.
And we were like, should we tell him to drop out? Like, it's definitely his decision, but we also want to support you.
Yeah. And I was all about Tommy dropping out, having been the dropout on the team and not wanting to be the only dropout on the team.
I was like, dude, math or Yes Theory, bro.
I'm the only person in my entire extended family that doesn't have a college degree. I don't know if it's a high five.
It is a high five. His dad went to Harvard. His dad is a doctor. So
my mom's a lawyer.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Doctor and lawyer, yeah.
What was the experience of, because you and Matt have a pretty unique journey together. You know, you both end up going to McGill University in Canada and then did the Yes Theory and then you...
Dropped out.
You almost spent your whole life in your... let's say in your brother's shadow in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is a stage where you are stepping out of that.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
I think like he was doing the right moves and I kind of just happened to follow them in a way. And like, Yes Theory, I was like, this is the coolest thing you could have created. Of course I have to join if I can. He actually, I don't think he even remembers this, but he pitched me before he met you guys to do a channel, a YouTube channel of us two. me and him as brothers.
Wow.
And I was like, nah, I'm doing math. Slap my past self.
Here you are.
So yeah, it was very comforting to have him around. Even till when I dropped out, like, he was such a huge help and it helped me make that decision. And that's like the best decision I've ever made in my life. I think that's like number one, no regrets.
Did you have any idea of who you wanted to be when you were 24?
No clue.
Yeah.
No freaking idea. I was like, I can't even imagine being that old. That's so old, 24, like in my 20s. Like, I'm 13. What am I going to do? But honestly, if my past self could see myself now, I'd be like, you did it. You did the YouTube thing. Oh my God.
Thomas, since it was just your birthday, what's your favorite thing about being 28?
I think it's weird because 28 for a long time has been an age that I've been like expecting. I don't know, for some reason. I remember being like very confident that by the time I'm 28, I'm going to be doing what I feel excited to do. And in a lot of ways, like, I definitely feel like I'm arriving at that place. There's still things that I struggle with. But the older I've been getting, deeper in my 20s, the more I've been feeling like connected to who I am and what I want to be doing. And now I'm not afraid of my 30s approaching. I'm not like, oh God, I have so much stuff left to do in my 20s. You know, I actually feel pretty good about it.
That's a great answer. That's amazing. I'm so happy for you to be in that spot.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
When I talk to people from my hometown who are getting older and like people in their late 20s, it's always like panic. Mm. Always like, oh my God, I have to do so much stuff.
Mm.
It's so cool that you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think Matt feels that way too, of like, you guys have done so much stuff.
Yeah.
That like, you're naturally going into your 30s wanting rest and wanting reflection and being in a place where you're ready for that.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel turning 27?
It's funny because the first episode of the podcast, I was talking about how I was not looking forward at all to my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
My perspective was fogged up by the expectations of that I put on myself. Someone said in front of me once that you're most likely going to be who you are at 27 for like the rest of your life as an adult. And the entire time the countdown was coming down to 27, I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Is this who I am?
No, I can't be like this. Yeah. And I think I let that really psych me out and completely forget about everything that I am as a 27-year-old man and everything that I've accomplished and everything that I've realized about myself. And compared to the first episode of the podcast, I feel great about being 27.
That's growing up, baby.
That's growing up. Well, that brings me to, I think, a good closing question. With all that you know right now at 24, at 28, at 27, what would we go back to tell our 12-year-old selves?
I feel like following those gut feelings for me has always worked out, even if it's so counterintuitive to like what people are telling you and like what society tells you.
Yeah.
Just following your gut. And you don't hear it that often, but when you do hear it, be sure to listen.
Mm.
What about you?
We were asked that recently too, and I was just like, I don't want to say anything.
Mm.
Like, I want to let myself figure it out.
Mm.
I think advice is good, but I don't want to give myself any shortcuts. Like, I think the lessons I learned, the harder it was to learn them, the deeper they became, you know?
That's great advice.
And so it's like, I want to let myself figure it out. Maybe the only thing would be like, don't care so much about what people think. But other than that, like, I think it's good to just learn the lessons. The hard way is usually like the truest way.
Mm-hmm.
And as shitty as it is in the moment, you know, as uncomfortable and scary as it is to not know what's on the other side, I think those are the lessons that truly stick with you for the rest of your life.
Is that a similar answer to you?
For me, it's two things. Question everything and ask for what you want. These are the two principles that have really allowed me to get the most out of my life and out of my growth. Mm. If you do these two things, I think you're in a pretty good place.
Yeah, I agree.
To reflect on growing up is to take a deep look into the culmination of things that make you who you are today. Looking back on your life is no easy task, but it can help you to better understand who you are and, more importantly, why you view the world the way you do. While we are all from different backgrounds and have had different circumstances growing up, the one thing that brings us together is the fact that we are all on the same journey together. As we grow older, we are gifted the opportunity to become more connected with the people that we have grown into, and in turn, become more connected with those around us. So whatever age you are at now, just remember that life keeps moving. And with each year comes new changes, developments, and opportunities to continue your growth. Sometimes all it takes is to turn inwards. Trust your gut and allow yourself the necessary moments of reflection that will aid your mind and spirit for years to come. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week. I'm your host for this episode, Thomas Bragg. But I would not be here without my friend, Amar. This episode was produced by Luke Himmelsbach and was edited and sound designed by Travis Loafman. The S3 podcast is produced by Luke Himmelsbach for Expedition Audio. From Headspace Studios, this show is produced by Danny Carissimi. Additional production help from Demira Pierre. The executive producers are Leah Sutherland, Morgan Selzer, and Sam Rogaway.